Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Hour and Podcast, a show about transformation, mindset transformation. This is Life Coach Myrna Young, and in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of being born in poverty in Guyana to have an abundance in America. And I did it by changing my mindset. Let's go do it. Each week, I bring you guests or one-on-one coaching sessions to help you change your mindset and transform your life. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Myrna Young. And sitting in the guest chair today, it's Shari Foos. Shari is a marriage and family therapist. And today we're going to be talking about the power of embracing awareness, wonder, and empathy to build your relationships. And we're talking marital relationships, any kind of relationships that you have. But today, since Shari is a marriage therapist, we will want to, you know, specifically target the marital relationship. So if you're in any kind of a relationship, then you need to stay tuned so that you can find out how your power of awareness can build your relationships. Welcome, Shari.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, happy to have you too. I love talking about relationships because, you know, we're all in some form of relationship, which is basically what I said. You know, today we're going to talk about the marital relationship, but all relationships improve the quality of your life. So let me give you a short bio on Shari. Shari Foos is a marriage and family therapist, adjunct professor, and the creator of the Narrative Method, a California 501c3 nonprofit organization. Part of the Human Connection Movement, TNM creates programs, products, and experiences that address the growing isolation and need for real connection through sharing stories. Foos also co-founded The Bridge in 1999, a free humanities program for low-income adults at Antioch University, Los Angeles. She received an MA in narrative medicine from Columbia University and an MA in clinical psychology from Antioch University in Los Angeles. As a sought-after expert in the subject of relationships, remote group dynamics, and meaningful connection, her writing and commentary have appeared in a range of online and print publications and podcasts, including Real Simple, Huffington Post, Women's Health, KBLA, Fatherly, Thrive Global, Shondaland, The LA Weekly, Sparks and Honey Culture Briefings, Shondership, Let Pleasure Be the Measure, and Bustle. Nice. Yeah, that was a long list. Ms. Foos serves on the board at the City Kids Foundation and is the recipient of the New Directions for Veterans Community Hero Award in 2015 and the Antioch University Los Angeles Lifetime Achievement Award in 2016. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have an expert here. Well, that was a great journey, Shari. So tell us, what made you go into this line of work? What was your journey into understanding human connections?
Having had a bad childhood.
Yeah, isn't that where it always starts?
You know, the thing is, I do think everybody, every one of us has had trauma to different degrees, but we certainly all know the feeling of loss or shame or humiliation or unfair treatment or any of the kinds of things. I think of emotions like a piano with all of the keys. We have all of them to different extents at different times, but even if we don't always use those really high notes or the low, 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 low notes, they're there. And that serves as our empathy. And because of that, we can sit with someone who's going through something terrible that maybe in our day-to-day life we've never experienced, but we can feel it in our soul because it's a human experience. Mm-hmm. And when we put ourselves aside to be truly present and available with our lovingness, our acceptance, our non-judgment, our empathy, to hear someone's story from their perspective, not our judgment or our assumptions, that person feels better. No matter what the problem is, they feel better, because without being heard, we go crazy. And that's why
we... So is it the compassion, empathy, or the fact that they're talking about it? Yeah.
It's all of it.
All of it.
It's that you're hearing me. You know, when someone comes to you who you love and they're really excited about something and you're so excited with them, there's that, you're just aligned, right? You are head to head, heart to heart. That's easy. But when somebody comes to you with a complexity that you have a lot of feelings about, whether it's addiction or someone's choice of spouse or whatever that may be, it's more difficult. And that's why we practice, as you said at the beginning, awareness, wonder, empathy. That is called awe, A-W-E.
Mm. I like that. That's easy to remember, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And here's where I think it's going to lead into something else I know you're interested in, which is relational mindfulness.
Okay, right. So, but how did you... I know you said you had a bad childhood. Bridge the gap for us. How did you go from having a bad childhood to being a therapist and a marriage therapist? Were you in a, your bad childhood had something to do with your parents' marriage?
That wasn't very good. But my father was a rageaholic. And it was at a time where, even more so than now, there was a lack of understanding about mental health. And so he wouldn't seek treatment, and it just wasn't in the mentality of people then. Mm-hmm. So as a result of my having a childhood in which I was wounded, and on top of that, I was never heard or seen, you know, mm-hmm. And it's not uncommon. Lots of people grow up like that, but don't know that it could be better. Mm-hmm. So I was fortunate in that I had friends, and I would go to their houses and see, like, wait a minute, this is
different, this, from my house, right?
Yeah, yeah, this is a possibility. Or I watched Leave It to Beaver, where like his father would talk about it in the library. If there was a, you know, we didn't have a library and we definitely didn't have talks, but as a result, and probably because of who I came in as into the world, I've just always been incredibly passionate about what makes people feel and what makes people behave. So I could study my father's, the sweat on his upper lip, depending on what was happening there, I knew he was about to blow. And that's when I got interested in body language.
Wow. That is excellent on so many levels. One, let's talk about the talk issue. I mean, I love that, you know, when I'm talking to someone on the show, I can always bring in personal experience, not necessarily me, but, you know, I read a lot of books, I listen to podcasts and I listen to television shows. And just yesterday, I was watching a show of all things, Reba, where it was meant to be comedy. You know, he was talking to Reba about her relationship with her daughter. And he says, "You guys do something. What is that called? Talk."
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Talk. Hang on a minute.
Never talked to him.
Oh, you know, I think I read about that. Yeah. Talk.
And that was so funny. And that's basically what you're just saying. You went to other places and saw people actually talking, and there was no talking going on in your house. But, and also then I heard some other, I think Tony Robbins talked about how he was, the reason that he got into what he did, because he had a bad childhood as well. And his father, you know, or his mother, I think it was actually his mother, And he would have to watch her movements to know when she was in a bad mood or something. So you learn, and even Will Smith was talking about the same thing about his father, watching him to know when he was going to be in a bad mood or to get out of his way or to try pleasing him or something. So you're right, your childhood, everything starts from there. And in fact, I was even reading this book yesterday, and it says that every child goes through some kind of emotional damage. Even the ones that think they had a great childhood, they went through emotional damage. And that was different for me, because, you know, I had to think back. Yeah, I had emotional damage too. So yeah, I mean, but it's great that, you know, a lot of times we take our pain, you know, whether you're right, it's from childhood, whether it's from young adults, whether it's from, you know, relationships, marriages, or whatever, we take our pain. And a lot of times people use that pain to help other people and so that they can grow. So awesome. Right. So I like the fact that you talked about awareness of when your father was sweating on his brow to know that he was going to blow. So talk to us now about relational mindfulness and how does awareness build relationships? I mean, take us into a situation where maybe a wife knows her husband is, or the husband knows that the wife is, you know, and they come home and they've got to read it, or, you know, whatever.
Okay. Well, was the word you didn't say cheating? Is that what you were thinking about?
No, not cheating. No, I'm just saying, no, cheating is a totally different thing. I'm talking about if you know, a lot of times men has moods and women have moods, and the being aware of when they're going into a mood or something.
Oh, okay. That's brilliant.
I'm trying to think that's what you're talking about. Right. Right.
Okay. No, that's a great concept. And it's a great question. Mm-hmm. Here's again, I know it's a new word. It's going to take a while to sink in, but that talking thing, talk, whatever. So of course, when you live with someone, you don't have to consciously think, whoa, his shoulders are slumped, or, you know, her bottom lip is really pouty, or whatever, you know, but there is a tremendous value in our being able to break down the communication, the nuanced communication that is silent, because it's one thing that we rely on. We rely on it, not just for survival. That's what lovemaking is. And that's what disconnecting is. So here's a good thing that you may do consciously or unconsciously, but like you could see that the other person's in a bad mood. And then maybe it triggers you to think, oh, great. Now I got to take care of you. You know, I have some needs too. Yeah. You know, I'm going out, whatever that is. But mm-hmm. had you been able to talk to the person, you both might have found out what was going on with each other. Here's the number one thing to do. It's so easy. If you need to have a serious talk, because when we talk about relational mindfulness, it's a very deliberate action. It would be really hard to live in that 24/7, you know, but it's a holy state of hyper awareness of the impact of your words and subtle communications, as well as the other person's. And the idea is you never begin a conversation like that unless both people in this moment feel willing to be selfless and take turns listening.
One of the best things you can do to improve your health is to get at least 7 hours of quality sleep every night. I know it's hard to get that much sleep, but listen, it's super important because your body heals itself when you sleep. And if you're not getting enough quality sleep, you're increasing your risk of disease and make it harder to lose weight. Would you like to know an easy way to get more quality sleep every night? Make sure you get enough magnesium. Believe it or not, around 75% of people don't get enough of it, which helps explain why so many people have sleep problems. Unfortunately, most magnesium supplements are not full spectrum, so they wouldn't fix your magnesium deficiency or help you sleep better. There are actually 7 unique forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, sleep-enhancing effects. That's why I recommend
Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. Simply take two capsules before you go to bed and you'll be amazed by how much better you sleep. For an exclusive offer to my listeners, go to megbreakthrough.com/transformyourmind to save up to 42%. Again, you can save up to 42% on Magnesium Breakthrough when you go to magbreakthrough.com/transformyourmind. Our next partner is Thrive Cosmetics. The cause is in the name for a reason. Every purchase supports organizations that help women thrive. I personally love Thrive Cosmetics Lip Filler and Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. I love the lip filler because my lips are constantly dry, and the lip filler keeps my lips hydrated with vitamins so they look supple and nice. This leave-on lip serum treatment nourishes and restores dull, dehydrated lips. The Liquid Lash Extension Mascara is amazing. Ladies, you know that after using lashes, the glue takes off most of your natural lashes. But Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions make your natural lashes look fuller and longer. It mimics the look of lash extensions. Now is a great time to Thrive Cosmetics for yourself. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/transform. Our mission is bigger than beauty. For every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to women to help women thrive. Women emerging from homelessness, surviving domestic abuse, fighting cancer, and more. That website again is thrivecosmetics.com/transform.
And it's okay. It's got to be okay if the person's not there, because we know that sometimes they'll say, okay, I'll talk about something. Mm-hmm. And if your heart isn't into it, and a person is asking you to really look at it from my perspective, if there's resistance, it's not a good time to talk about it. It's okay. Let's wait. So that's really number one. And honestly, you could cancel out so many problems with number one. It's just, could you for 20 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever, would you be willing to have a session of awe where we're both agreeing to mutual respect, awareness, wonder, and empathy, taking turns, sharing our feelings, and then reflecting them back, the other person reflecting them back, and the storyteller making sure that they've got it right, and lovingly, of course, correcting each other, then we've got it right. Now we can move on to another point that the same person has to make, or the other person can share their perspective, but constantly check in, because it's a lot to put yourself aside, especially when somebody's saying things that's like, you know, 10 minutes ago, wait a minute, you know, I don't agree with that. So one thing I often will do for myself is I'll keep a little pen and paper just so that I can get something off my mind. I don't even have to look at it to scribble it, just so I can forget about it.
Yeah, or you're downloading. Yeah.
Or ask the person to stop. But everybody realizes that this is a very focused state that is difficult to maintain. There are times when we maintain it for a long time, especially if we're meeting somebody new who may not be pushing our buttons the way our spouse does. But who out there who has or has had a spouse has never felt like, I've told you that a million times before. Okay.
My husband likes to say that. And that's not even true.
I mean, if they had said what they thought they had said, you would have heard it. Right. But the problem is either in the delivery or the receiving. Let's find out let's find out what the communication.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So you're saying when they say that I've told you a million times, they've said it in their heads, but not to you?
Or the way that they're articulating it isn't getting through to you. So
right.
Right. Good. Some things are person to person. Other things are cultural. Other things are, you know, your age group or whatever. But if I were to say, if I were your husband and I go, Myrne, I really love you. Okay. You may, maybe for you, you're so shy and that's as vulnerable as you can get. But sorry, I can't decipher that, you know.
Right.
Obviously, that's a sort of a ridiculous example, but you get the drift.
Yeah, that's an extreme example, but it's exactly the same thing. People happens. A lot of times they're saying the words, but their body action is not conveying the message, and the receiver doesn't actually believe it. So that's great. But I want to circle back to something you said there where you're right. Sometimes it's not the right time to ask somebody to talk or to ask somebody to get into awe. I like that, you know, awareness, wonder, and empathy. I normally work with energy because I can feel energy. And I know when it's not the right time because of energy. How do you respond with that?
Well, I think there are two factors for me in terms of reading someone else. One is that certain things are obvious. For instance, if someone's crying, but you don't necessarily know right off the bat why the person is crying or if they're crying for joy or sadness. You soon see the difference. But we can misinterpret someone because of the way they think about something. So even though I pay attention to my instincts, I always check in.
Okay.
So, you know, if I see someone's upset and I feel like they want to be alone, I still want to say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if you want to talk about it, but I want you to know I'm here for you. Or I want you to know I'm so sorry I have to leave, or whatever is true for you.
That's good.
Without going beyond a potential boundary they may have. And
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Because sometimes you say something and there's one, why are you badgering me? Yeah. So if you're saying you're just checking in, I don't know if you want to talk about it or not. That's good. But I'm just checking in. Let me know when you want to talk or something like that.
Or how about this? How about this? Okay, fine. I'll talk about it. You go first. It's like, no, that's not a good time.
Yeah. That's good too. Right. So yeah, so we're touching a lot of stuff on relational mindfulness where, how would you describe that word though? When you say relational mindfulness, is there like a bumper sticker to describe that?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to tell you, but as I'm telling you, I'm going to bring up the exact definition.
Okay.
So, yeah. Here we go. Relational mindfulness is the humanistic practice of compassionately relating to others with an open mind and mutual respect. By putting aside your own beliefs and judgments, you can better empathize and understand others from their perspective. And that's really what it is. Okay. So the idea is we take turns, especially if we're, having a problem with each other. Mm-hmm. We've already tried both talking at the same time. And I know we both know we're right, but I'm right. Okay, we've done that. And at some point, we may get to a place where we decide, I'd rather communicate than be right. Sometimes I'd rather apologize than be right. Because if you perceived that my action or behavior or style or subtle communication was offensive, it doesn't really matter if that was my intention. I am sorry. Yeah. I'm especially sorry if it wasn't my intention.
Right.
And right. So.
Yeah, because it's not always what you say, but it's how the person receives it. True. Got you.
Mm-hmm. But here's the bottom line with all of this. If you feel heard, then you don't have that lingering annoyance or insult. It's wanting to be heard. So if I say, okay, look, hey, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I didn't mean that. By the way, yes, may I talk to you about some? Well, I'm sorry, I'm not done. But if you get to, if I invite you to please explain how that was from your perspective, I want to hear it. And then maybe I'll even imagine, oh my gosh. And on top of that, you were running late. I'm so sorry. And then I can keep being focused on you. And eventually you'll probably feel filled up and be able to say, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing. It's funny how I was making a joke about that word talk, right? That's what it's all, you know, we're just using the word, the small word talk. A lot of people use the big word communication, you know, so that's great. So let's dig a little deeper into this awe. So how do you think that awareness, wonder, and empathy deepens relationships? I know we talked about what we've been talking about in the last 5 minutes is, you know, you feel hurt, you know, each person needs to say what's on their mind and getting them in a position where they want to communicate. But what does the science say as far as that would deepen relationships?
Great question. Well, first of all, one thing that connects our brains is eye contact, which we can accomplish online, which is amazing. And I have 2 years plus of the pandemic to prove it. We do groups where it's incredible what happens among people in sharing personal stories and the stories they write. We have different groups. So our eye contact connects us, syncs our brains. And if we were in fMRI machines, you would see our brains are lit up in the same place. But if our backs are to each other, first of all, we don't know what expression is on someone's face. Maybe their face is mean, but maybe it's loving. But how are we going to know if we don't look? If you're at that level of aggravation, it's a good time to not have an awe session. Go take care of yourself, run around the block, take a shower, ask for a hug if you're able, you know, but we need to do what we can do to kind of get our homeostasis calmer. What I suggest to people is a self-soothing tool that you can do any place at any time. You take your dominant hand, you put it on your heart, and when you really start feeling your heartbeat, you let your hand take comfort from that, and vice versa. So it's a loop of calm. I don't know exactly how I'm going to deal with this moment, but I'm going to breathe and trust and come from a place of love and do my best and just keep yourself there until you calm down. Because if you had pressed send in the first draft of that email response, you might have been sorry. If you sleep on it, you may be able to say it in a much more productive way.
Right.
Yeah. And the same times a zillion when it comes to face-to-face contact with someone who's close to you. You don't want to really tell them how you feel when you're on a scale of 1 to 10 at 11.
Yeah. You know, that's good. You know, I always used to like sharing my, you know, telling people how I feel. Now that I'm, you know, I've calmed myself down by meditating every day and, you know, my buttons are not pressed as much then, but I always came from the opinion that, that you should share how you feel. But what you're saying is share how you feel. When you're calm, is that what you're saying?
You know, again, we can't always make things perfect. Like, for instance, if somebody's driving and you're sitting in the passenger seat and you realize they're about to hit somebody and, you know, you accidentally bang them while you turn the wheel. Okay, you could talk about it now. But you have to judge what is the timing, what else is going on, what is the context? Sometimes, especially if this is a very profound issue that can't be solved in one conversation, it's better to approach it with calmness on both parts, an agreement that we will both take turns listening and sharing, and agree that if it gets too heated, we'll take a break. If we need to take a break for a long time or a short time, not every conversation has to be that way, but we know when things are really vulnerable and delicate.
I want to talk about sludge. It happens after you drive your vehicle for a while. It's a buildup of motor oil that gels, then collects dirt, metals, and unburned fuel. Sludge prevents oil from getting to the critical engine parts it's designed to protect. You'll notice your vehicle running rough, stalling, even vibrating. That's because friction is damaging your engine. Gilcat ProLine is the solution. This science was engineered for aerospace, tested in racing, and used by our military. Now, you can use this well-kept secret to protect your engine from future buildup, extend the life of the vehicle, and save on repair costs. Order at gilcat.com. gilcat.com.
Welcome to Authenticity Atlas Podcast, where your two hosts, Tati
and Dana. We are two corporate professionals and best friends, and we want to openly share our journeys from living in low self-worth to discovering a life of authenticity and high self-worth.
We talk about all areas of life, such as wellness, spirituality, relationships, astrology, manifestation, and many other topics.
We will be also sharing some of our most intimate and personal stories, so get ready.
And I'm thinking to myself, this is such a great American experience, losing the virginity at the prom night to a prom king. Ooh.
In a way, like, I started believing that I was crazy and that nobody else would want me, because that's how he kind of made it seem, and I believed him.
The second time around, you pick exactly what you want. So I would like to say that I'm not single. I am in between husbands right now.
Just because I've done bad things before, or what I would consider bad, doesn't mean that I'm a bad person.
I can't wait to share all of these tools with the world. Buckle up and get ready for the ride of your lives on the Authenticity Atlas Podcast.
Are you looking for cheap and fashionable clothing that you can create your own label? Then check out Valenti.com. Locally produced in the U.S. for faster production, shipping, and the best quality. Valenti.com got everything you need for summer, winter, and autumn to stay fresh. Valenti clothing was created with one ambition, namely customer satisfaction. Our goal is to put you first and offer the best service possible. So if you want to be your own label, head over to Valenti.com. Shop for hoodies and sweatshirts, t-shirts, jackets, sunglasses, and much more. Shop while you're supporting a worthy cause. For every purchase, Valenti.com will donate 20 cents to the Ocean Cleanup Foundation. That website again is BELENTTI.com.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's good. Okay. Now, you also say that an apology is great in building human connections. Where are you coming from with that?
Well, apology is a real superpower, because it's a way to give someone the ultimate respect for feeling hurt, big or small, to be able to stop, take a step back, connect to your humility, and realize, wow, something I did hurt someone, whether or not it was intentional. And my ability, even if it's not recent, even if it's an old event, my ability to empathize and imagine how that must have been for the other person is a gift to them. Because again, it's being willing to hear someone from their perspective. It may not have been a big deal to you, but when you told the whole group that I was having problems getting pregnant, I was mortified. It's none of their business.
Yeah.
Oh, but honey, I didn't mean it like that. I just thought like we were all being open with each other. And besides, I was really connecting to Melvin and blah, blah, blah. You're not hearing me. I'm glad you were getting connected. But it's my body, first of all. It's not yours. And you can see how we can. But when the spouse, in this case, the husband, can stop right there, this may not require an entire, you know, planned calendared session for 2 hours. But when he says, honey, wait a minute, hang on. I'm hearing what you're saying. I just realized what you're saying. I am so sorry. I didn't even think of that for a second. I'm ashamed for not having thought of that. Of course. Now that may not be enough for her. She may feel like, well, yeah, you should have thought of it, you know, and that's okay. And then he can say, I hear you. I should have thought of you. Now the guy may start thinking, all right, I'm apologizing a little too much for this. Just be humble. Keep going. when she lets you know that she's okay now, that she understands what you're saying, she's accepted your apology and knows and trusts that you won't do that again and feels like she could move on.
Now, yeah, that's one part of it. But the part that I was thinking of was that a lot of times when people are fighting, they say hurtful things. And then they call back and apologize. So I'm thinking that kind of apology deepens the relationship. That's what I was thinking. Not necessarily that, you know, you've done something where you didn't know it was hurtful and it was kind of like an accident. But I'm thinking of when you deliberately said something hurtful during a fight and you call and apologize. Tell me the science, but your experience on that part.
Yes. Well, give me an example. During a fight.
I don't know.
Somebody else.
During a fight, you tell your husband, you know, something that you know that's going to hurt him, or he tells you, calls you a name or something, okay. You know, like a bitch or whatever.
Okay. All right. I don't believe that we have a good enough example because it'll piss you off that he called you a bitch.
Right.
But that doesn't even really mean anything. You know,
if he calls back and apologizes, that doesn't help.
Yes, absolutely. I just wanted to give you a worse example. Okay. So how about he says you're lousy in bed?
No man ever says that.
Okay. Well, let's say the woman.
Even if they think it, they're not going to say that.
Well, he's drunk. I don't know. It came
all
out.
Right. Well, if he's drunk, yes.
Or he says, you know, my first, he's talking about something.
Actually, I got a better one. If you compare them, because men don't like you comparing them. All right, let's use that one.
Okay. All right. So you be the woman. What are you saying? I'll be the man.
Hey, you know, yeah. You know, I've had better. You know, my other boyfriend was.
Why? Wait a minute. What do you mean you've had better? You've had better. Go back to better. I'll see you later. Okay.
I mean, but they say it. That's very true. So then I come back and I apologize. Says, "Oh, sweetheart, you know, I didn't really mean that. I was just trying to hurt you. You are the best I've ever had." Would he believe that?
No, because you have to show more depth. And here's what it is.
Okay.
You know, unless you guys fool around like that and you have your own kind of in between the two of you way of communicating like that, that's a terrible thing to hear. It's got to either be a conscious or unconscious slip up because you don't say that when you want to stay in a relationship, right? So I think that requires more than a honey, I'm sorry. I think that requires a session of awe where we're really listening to each other. So whoever...
It didn't slip out. I really mean that.
Well, I think our unconscious, again, if you're under the influence, it's different, but your unconscious, it really knows what you want to say and what you don't want to say. Mm. People have kept secrets on all kinds of levels throughout their lives because they feel like, well, if you knew that about Aunt Jo, you might not like her anymore, whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's very important to realize we don't know which person will first say, look, we need to sit down and talk about this. But let's say one or the other does. And it would be really exacerbating to the situation if the other person said, no, I don't want to talk. Okay, now you're at another level. But that's possible. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy's already packing, you know. You know, you can have the kids, I'll take the TV, you know, whatever. So somehow, somewhere, you've both agreed to a session. And I would say, here's where you're reading each other. And you would say at the beginning, the one who hopefully who had said the thing would say, first of all, I am so here. I want to hear you. I want to apologize. And before we begin this conversation, I want to make sure that this is a good time for you, that you can really be present. And I promise you, I will be present. And then, you know, now if the other person says, yeah, fine, you may be okay with that. And it may be that for the longest time, you're just saying, I'm so sorry, you didn't deserve it. First of all, it's the furthest thing from being true. And I said it to hurt you because I was feeling regardless.
Got you.
You may need that preamble before mm-hmm. you can even get into, okay, so we're going to take turns.
Right. Got you.
Here's where, you know, we have to really use our individuality. I can give you a frame and a formula that is a safe way to communicate. But if it's robotic, it's not helpful either, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's something about that. But it's always important, whether in the example before, or which was, you know, not really a serious situation, or in this situation, it's important that the other person, after they reflect it back, to make sure that the person feels heard, that they are offered an opportunity to share something as well. Mm-hmm. So if the husband, let's say, who talked about infertility in a group without his wife's permission, he may say this: I completely accept everything that you've said. I stand corrected. I'm devoted to protecting that vulnerability and privacy. I do want to share with you something that came up for me, which is that, you know, we just moved here 6 months ago, and I was so excited that I could connect honestly with these guys. You know, so many of these men I've been meeting are very close, and, you know, some I could play sports with, but this guy, we could really be real. And I want you to know that although I will never talk about anything like that, I'm excited for this potential couple's relationship we have with him and her. So I wanted you to know that I'm looking forward to that too.
That's good. Because that shows the reason behind it, then it wasn't malicious. It was just bright, trying to share or something. That is good. Awesome. I'm learning a few things, you know, I'm still traversing my marital relationship after 15 years, because we're two different people and, you know, we're coming from two different spaces, and that's awesome. All right, now you talk about something that's called the narrative method. What is that?
The narrative method is the organization I founded in 2014, and it is devoted to bringing together people from completely different backgrounds to connect through sharing the stories of their lives and creative experiences. So as I mentioned earlier, we do writing groups that are for free and online, and they last 1 hour. You write for a total of 20 minutes. You see pictures, you get prompts, you go into breakouts, you share your stories. At the end, we do this mosaic where everybody pitches in one sentence, 1 hour in and out. Nobody has writer's block. Nobody is judged. Nobody's wrong. There's no mistakes possible. People have a blast with themselves because we're really working on how to turn on your creative faucet without that voice inside that says, who do you think you are? You know? And so those are awesome. And then the conversation groups, which we do on Thursday nights, are a matter of seeing compelling videos about anything, then getting a prompt and going into breakouts and sharing a story that just came up as a result of those things. And so people get to know each other because there's no small talk. And it's fascinating to hear not just another person's story, but whoa, that made you think of this? It's fascinating. It's so cool. So we offer those free. We have classes, we do trainings, and so thenarrativemethod.org.
Okay. Yeah. So that's awesome. So I lost a little bit in the translation. So in the narrative method, are they talking about stories from their lives, or are they creating fictional stories?
Oh, thank you for asking that. Well, we do both. We connect with people from a place of who we really are. And we think of, in the narrative method, about who we really are as, you know, there's the constant noise that comes at all of us from every direction. And it causes a lot of insecurity and miscommunication. When you separate yourself from all of that and what other people think, and that is who you really are, to be real. When you can be real with people, share your stories or share a creative experience of writing improvisationally with a prompt. You can make it fictional or it could be personal, any form you want, just short form. Mm-hmm. And it's a way, because we talked earlier about what happens when we have eye contact. Okay. When you share your story, whether it's your personal story or your creative work with mm-hmm. other people, mm-hmm. you have the experience of feeling seen.
Okay.
In a way that is so gratifying. And that's what connects us.
Well, that was great. That was, that's original. I've never heard of that. I know there's a lot of groups, but I've never heard of it taking this kind of form. So, you know, kudos to you for that creative inspiration to do that. Now, you mentioned that people can sign up for this at thenarrative.org. Is that what you said the website was?
Thenarrativemethod.org.
Method. Okay. All right. Thenarrativemethod.org. Okay. So share with our listeners, you know, how they can normally connect with you, if that's the only website, your social media handle, or, you know, something that you would like for anyone that's listening to our conversation, even as a marriage and family therapist, how they can connect with you.
Well, the easiest way is info@thenarrativemethod.org. And you can find out all the other stuff. If you go to the website, you can learn about all the 12 core concepts. You can see the programs we offer. You can get our cards, which are designed to, in fact, this is just so incredibly powerful with couples. We have decks of cards that have concepts and prompts on them. And when you do these with your partner, you will learn things you never knew. And one of the things that happens with deeper understanding, and part of a deeper understanding is apology, practicing awe, using these cards and prompts, is that you can repair something that was never really clear before. Or you can learn something that takes you deeper. And those things create a relationship that has more depth and meaning than it ever did yesterday. And that is a wonderful takeaway.
Yeah, I'm feeling that in my spirit right now, because that is so beautiful. Again, we're going to get back to that word talk, because I love talking. I love sharing, you know, but a lot of times you don't know if you're sharing too much or the person doesn't want to hear. So if you are coming from the space of, oh, okay, this is a card, you know, like a card game, that is so beautiful.
It's really easy. I love it. You know, yeah. Exactly. And you know what? If you don't want to do it anymore, it's all right. It wasn't your idea. You just read the card, you know?
Yeah, right. It was a card. Oh, I love that. Sherry, this has been a blast. I absolutely love talking to you. Again, we're talking about relationships. We're all in it. You know, I'm in it. I'm in several relationships at a time, but yeah, the predominant relationship is my marital relationship. So when we talk about, you know, situations that can make it better, situations that can improve with communication and talking. And it's just interesting, but just last night I was looking at something that's funny about talking between parents and children, you know, which is, you know, something that I've got covered. I talk to, you know, my children like 2-3 times a day. So I got that covered there.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, the marital relationship is one where, yeah, you've got to like tippy toe. Sometimes they don't want to talk. Sometimes they, you know. So this is great. I really enjoyed that little insight. And I'm sure that, you know, those listening with also come away with some insight. And then if they need more, they can head over to your website and, you know, connect with you.
Fantastic.
So that's awesome. So definitely want to thank you for coming on and, you know, expanding our minds about a new concept for me anyway. And that is, you know, awareness, wonder, and empathy. So I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You're so spectacular. I really dug this.
Yeah. Yes. You had a good conversation. All right, guys. Well, listen, as we wrap up, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Transform Your Mind, to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. You know, this episode will probably be under our marriage makeover episode. So yes, this is one way that you can make over your marriage by practicing awareness, wonder, and empathy. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, namaste.